You're listening to the Jackie Daly Show. And listen, the whales continue to wash up on the East Coast. And even people who don't share my views on things like offshore wind energy are beginning to ask questions. It's very difficult to not notice these massive animals washing up on shore. And for people who have lived there all of their lives or several years, it's difficult to not notice. This is something new. This has not happened every year of our lives. This is not normal. And so there's reason to believe that the offshore wind projects, because they have filed for take permits, which is a get out of jail free card if you kill a whale, even they will, you know, therefore indirectly acknowledge they have a massive impact on sea life, especially whales. Well, over at CFACT, my friend Craig Rucker, who's the president and co-founder, has joined together with other groups like Heartland Institute and our other friends at the National Policy Center. They are filing suit against the Biden administration and various agencies therein to try to put a stop to the latest project that's going to be, I think, kicking off May 1st. Craig, welcome back to the show.
Jackie, it's great to be back on. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I see you guys are getting aggressive and getting in front of this thing. From what you've published here, looks to me like we've only got a little over 300 of the North Atlantic right whales left in this world. And this project that you're tackling right now is endangering this species, which the feds say we can't afford to lose even one per year, or they're gone forever. So first of all, thank you to you all and everything that you're doing to try to save this species, and not just this one species. There are actually a lot of different species at risk. But tell us about, what made you all decide to get in this fight?
Well, I'll tell you, Jackie, we've been in this fight for the last several years, and really we've been chronicling for a while how green energy has been adversely impacting marine life for sure, and that we're seeing with dolphins and whales and things of that sort. In fact, there's some 30 different species where they're putting these wind farms, which are about 15 to 30 miles off our eastern shores, ranging all the way from the Carolinas up to Massachusetts. This is right in the lanes where these whales go up and down, and they navigate by sonar. And the noises that are created, even in the construction of these wind farms, and that we noticed the uptick occurring from back in 2016, even from the Obama era, when they had planned to put these in, that there's in some communities a 400% increase in whale beachings, whale deaths. Even the EPA has said it's an unusual mortality event, and they can't quite explain what it is. But from our perspective, they should do an environmental impact assessment that looks at the cumulative impacts that all these wind farms are having up and down the East Coast on the species. Now, they have done some individually on these projects, but whales don't just hang around in Virginia or hang around in New Jersey. They go up through all of them, and they need to see that, you know, or at least take a look at what would happen if a whale has to migrate through all of them. And in fact, if you add together the projected losses that could occur from that, add up all these individual ones, it's possible that they could legally annihilate the right whale population two times over. And that would never be allowed to stand if this was an offshore oil rig or anything but green energy. But right. The Biden administration wants to see 30,000 megawatts put in by the year 2030. So they're fast tracking this. And like they do with onshore wind, which they're allowed to kill eagles and other raptors, they're making exceptions for this because of their climate fears.
Well, and what I found interesting as a lawyer is that you say in your publications that the federal courts have uniformly held that the feds may not do precisely what they're doing here, which is, if I understand what you just said, rather than looking at the 32 wind projects on the East Coast, what you call a gauntlet of wind projects that the whales would have to navigate through twice a year, they're only looking at them in isolation. So this group of 176 wind turbines, not the other 32 groups of turbines, is that correct?
Yeah. Well, and we're looking at that because we have to target the ones that we think we have the most standing with. And given that a lot of us are in Virginia, including myself, and we have a lot of members in Virginia, and we have a history of having gone up and opposed these. So from our perspective, it's our, you know, the impact of taking on Dominion Energy, which is a big utility that wants to put them in here. If, in fact, the court rules in our favor and it's in a D.C. court, it would impact all the wind farms. They would have to cease and desist in all construction until they do a proper environmental impact assessment. Not that I have a great deal of confidence that the Biden administration would do that, but at least they should follow the law before they proceed to try to wipe out a species.
Right. Well, and there are so many agencies that can come into play here. And I see that you're suing agencies like Americans don't even know all of these exist. The BOEM, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management.
Yeah, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management.
Yes, and the NMFS. Washington, D.C. is alphabet soup. It can be very confusing for people who don't work there. That's the National Marine Fisheries Service. So, their job is supposed to be protecting these whales, right? That's what we pay them to do. That's why they exist. Who knows how much money they get? But in fact, you know, they're just not getting it done. So do they just not care, Craig? Is this just a calculation of, well, you know what? Maybe a species has to go in exchange for these massive projects.
I've heard that from some environmentalists have actually said that. They said, you know, climate change is such a severe issue that if we have to put up these wind farms in their mind to fight this, and a few species go extinct, you know, well, that's the price we have to pay because collectively we'll all die because of global warming, which I remind them that everything they've ever predicted about climate change has been dead wrong. I mean, we had Greta Thunberg as recent as 2018 say we have 5 years left. Al Gore going back in the past saying that the Arctic would be ice free by, you know, what's it, 2012. And we see the end of snow by certainly this time. You have AOC famously saying that, you know, the world has 12 years left and that'll be in 2030, but I don't see any signs of this occurring. And, you know, so even if you bought into their climate fears, we've done some studies that show that by the time you construct these things and you got to keep reconstructing them about every 15 years because they wear out, the amount of emissions to put up these turbines, to ship out the parts, to get a lot of the rare earth components from China and other places that pollute like crazy, you're not actually even saving, even if I were personally terrified by climate change, this is not really doing anything practically to solve it. So it's just a exercise in, you know, futility, but it is making a lot of people very wealthy, especially the environmental groups, which receive money from these wind farm companies. And certainly the utilities, which are going to be able to jack up electric rates, you know, double and triple what they are now.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while, but I did a segment on the carbon footprint of a wind turbine or the carbon footprint of a solar panel. If people assume these things have no carbon footprint, which is crazy. They're made of cement and steel. They have, 100 gallons of oil or something like that that they can burn when they catch fire. And I just got a video from a trucker who is out in the West showing these turbine blades that are being hauled on these massive semi-trucks all over the country, which is not carbon neutral. Those blades, as you put in your publication, are over 100 yards long. They're longer than the size of a football field. Imagine, I mean, that can't be safe on the highways. We have them here in Texas. I see them all the time, because my state is right in the middle of the wind corridor. So we have them going in every direction. Try to imagine a semi-truck with a blade on the back of it longer than 100 yards taking up the highway, one after the next, after the next, after the next. Also not safe. So I have to cut to break, but Craig, I want to keep you for another segment to talk about not only this lawsuit that you have. I want to remind people about the films that you've made, Climate Hustle, in Climate Hustle 2, if they haven't seen them, they should definitely know about it. I'm talking to Craig Rucker. He is the founder and president of CFACT. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Jackie Daly Show, and I'm continuing a conversation with Craig Rucker. He is co-founder of CFACT and now serves as president. If you're just joining us from the last segment, they have filed suit along with the Heartland Institute to try to put a stop to a wind farm off the coast of Virginia, which is expected to critically endanger or even eliminate a species of whale, the North Atlantic right whale. There are only a little over 300 of them left. And so these groups are trying to force the federal government and its agencies to comply with the law in conformance with the uniform opinions of the federal courts, which is that they have to look at comprehensively all 32 wind projects on the East Coast and their impact on these species. And I, as I always tell you, the dead giveaway that the wind farms are killing the whales is that the wind operators apply for permits to kill the whales in advance. These are federally recognized get-out-of-jail-free cards. They're public information. You can look this up. There's only one reason why you apply for a take permit, a kill permit, and that's because you think you might kill whales, okay? That's the only reason, period. Look it up. We've talked about this at length in the past, so I won't wear it out now, but if you'd like to look it up and research yourself, you certainly can. So, Craig, coming back to you, I was looking through your bio and reminded that in the past, I had covered the films Climate Hustle and Climate Hustle 2 way back when they first came out. It's been a while ago. I know Climate Hustle 2 had Kevin Sorbo in it. I'm thinking it was Mark Morano who was talking about it on my show before. But if you can, let's just start with Climate Hustle. Number one, where do we find this film? And what is it about?
Absolutely. Well, I would strongly encourage your listeners to find out about it. Though it's a couple years old, came out a few years old now, I guess, 2020. It's still very pertinent. You can get it at climatehustle2.com, and that's the numeral two, climatehustle2.com. And it stars Kevin Sorbo. And there's actually two movies. You can get a two-movie pack. The first one, Climate Hustle, came out in 2016. It was actually the number one movie in America for one night.
The but, one night that it played at the box office, it rocked it, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I will say the competition wasn't that stiff. I think it was My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 and Batman versus Superman. But we were happy. We were number one for one night.
Yeah.
And the second one was due to come out in over 800 theaters around the country, but then COVID happened.
Oh,
and
right.
We weren't able to do that. So people can, buy it online and watch it online or get a DVD, either one. And really what it does is it sits down and does two things. The first movie, Climate Hustle, takes a look at the science, and it finds that, and it has over 30 different scientists from MIT, Harvard, and Georgia Tech, and all these different places saying that, you know, there isn't really a scientific consensus, unlike what people claim there is, that climate, you know, changes. Everybody knows that. But that man is the main driver is very disputed. We certainly don't see evidence of, you know, major increases in drought or wildfires or the types of hurricanes or things that you would associate with a climate out of control. So that's what the first movie does. It just dissects the science and says, really, you're kind of being hustled into thinking there's some sort of apocalyptic climate change going on. The second movie answers the question, okay, so if we're being hustled in science, why would anyone do that? And it looks into the motivations. So we address things like the money that's being made, the power that's being accrued by international bodies like the United Nations. I've been to 25 of the 28 UN COP meetings going back to the 1990s. And there's a tremendous amount of, power that can be garnered, money that can be garnered. And then there's an ideology that certain people have. And it is a far left ideology that looks at, well, kind of like they did with COVID to a degree, this crisis, what they manufacture as a crisis, is being an opportunity to empower government to have a whole lot more power and then, of course, being in charge of the government. So
yeah.
it's there's a lot of different actors in this thing. And I would definitely recommend getting the movie. We try to make it entertaining. We call it edutainment. That right. is, it's not just a boring documentary. It's actually got humor, and but it also, you know, is very valid in terms of the science that it puts out there.
It seems like, I remember that you all played this at one of the big climate conferences, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. So you could watch it there and probably offended and hacked off all of those people who, you know, sometimes I call them grifters, but what I mean by that is not that they're illegally committing fraud. It's all perfectly legal. But give an example of how, you know, why a private business, let's say a fossil fuel company, would get on the green agenda or jump on the wagon and say, yeah, I'm in, man. And how this is advantageous to them financially. Why would they agree to this?
Well, you know, I had the same question for a long time, but I, having gone both to the last Conference of the Parties in Egypt 2 years ago and this last one in Dubai, which are actually hosted by people who are in charge of big national oil companies for both countries,
right.
and
right.
I saw how they're doing it. They're able to buy in to a lot of these renewable projects, like what began our conversation in offshore wind, or figure out ways that they can actually, you know, figure out how they can maybe pay for their climate sins by investing in things that the UN approves, and that kind of assuages the guilt of these companies putting out their CO2 emissions. So, for example, if they're able to create a kind of an ESG system where they fund certain things that prohibit Africa from developing, or they're able to, come up with some new carbon sequestration things that they put into their operations where they can get the public to pay for these carbon sequestration pipelines and things like that and pump it into the ground, they can keep doing what they're doing and they'll get a checkbox so long as they give a generous check and fund these climate conferences. It's kind of an indulgence, if you would, to the ruling party. You know, it's the same thing you see with Al Gore taking private jets and everybody else. Theirs are okay so long as they figure out some sort of creative system to account for their increased emissions.
Well, the system is you can pollute as much as you want in this new green world as long as you're rich enough to pay for the carbon credits, right? It's all about,
well,
are you wealthy?
China's the biggest offender. You really wonder why none of the green groups, they put out the most CO2 in the entire world. And you never see them criticized. In fact, they have a really big vending operation at all these climate conferences the UN holds. They're actually beautiful. And the Greens, you know, kind of kowtow to them and say all sorts of wonderful things. And, you know, meanwhile, the United States, which has done more than any country to reduce its CO2 emissions because it went to natural gas, we're the villain and we need to pay more.
Yeah, I always say I will hear no lecturing at a UN conference from anyone, especially out of Europe, but also Asia. You know, lecturing us on what we need to be doing and what the U.S. needs to be paying for to try to somehow lower carbon emissions when the fracking revolution is our clean power plan and the reason why we have the lowest emissions. We move from coal to gas because it's cheap, because we have a lot of it, because we frack. So I wrote a whole op-ed on that in Forbes called Fracking is Our Clean Power Plan. That was many years ago, but it still holds true today. So I've got 1 minute left. Craig, remind us, where do we find... Well, you are at what? CFACT.org, CFACT.org. And if they want to see the films, remind us again where they can find the films. And by the way, can they search them online, like on Amazon or, Apple TV?
The answer is yes, until about a year and a half ago. And then Amazon, Bezos, took not just our film, but anything that was skeptical of the climate narrative off. From being able to be sold on Amazon. Although I think it still shows up. You can't buy it through Amazon, but Amazon will redirect you to where you can get it. So I give them credit for that. But they used to show it on Amazon Prime. Best bet is to just go to Climate Hustle or climatehustle2.com.
Okay.
And just get your longer get there. Or, of course, you can go to CFACT.org. That's CFACT.org. And you can get links there as well.
The fact that you've been canceled only increases my trust in you. That means there's something there that they don't want the kids to see, right? There's some kind of truth to that might, you know, reveal some kind of faulty methodology in what they're being fed. So congratulations on all that you're doing. Keep up all the great work. And I'm going to follow what you're doing in the federal courts for these whales. I've been on this story for like a year, maybe two. So best of luck in all that.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're listening to The Jackie Daly Show. We'll take a break.